I want to talk to you tonight about the subject that I've already shared a little bit of. It's a subject that is pressing more and more on my heart. I don't think that you can in any way call this a sermon. I don't think in any way that I could get a passing grade for homiletics. But I do want to talk to you, if nothing else, than just lay out some points about revival. You say, well, we're still a long ways away, still several weeks away. You know that time flies and it'll be here before long. And I am so sure that we need revival in this meeting. It need to be more than just 8 services, more than just 7 days of change of our schedules. We need a revival. What is revival? We have all kinds of different definitions of what revival would be. I suppose that we would all have a different idea of what we expect in revival. So often we stop and think about revival, and it has something to do with being revived as though something's dead. And when we think about it that way, we stop and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not dead. I'm very much alive, and spiritually I'm very much alive. I don't necessarily think that revival has to be something, that something that is dead is being revived. Maybe you could say it's a restoration. I have a list of R's this evening that I want us to look at. And you know that I don't do alliteration very much at all. And this has been coming to me and pressing on me. And I hope that you can take it away and remember it, because it's, you know, a lot of times we can remember stuff that's alliterated. That alliteration has been very popular with some preachers and been very effective in years gone by. I want us to think about revival tonight and its importance and its needs. We need a revival in our churches. We need a revival across our country. Just take a little bit of the reading that we just recently heard from Haiti, from the Youngs, and the apparent attention that God has gotten from the tragedy. I, for one, don't really want that to come to my location. I don't really want to see that kind of tragedy come to where I'm at. But if that's what it takes to see some people saved or some people go the right way, can I cinch up a little bit and accept it, believing that God can use tragedy? So often we can become so complacent that it takes tragedy. I've wondered it myself many times. One time in particular, Janae was just an infant in the car seat on the front seat beside me, going down the road, and I did what a lot of people do, reach for something that she threw on the floor or something. And just at that moment that I reached for that, I was coming into a curve, and when I looked up, I was already off the road in the gravel. You know what happens when you go highway speeds into gravel, turn the wheel too sharp. I just knew in that moment of time that God was going to use tragedy to get a hold of me. He didn't. It didn't take that. But he very well easily could have used tragedy because of my lack of paying attention Other things happened about that same time to make me think seriously about what I was doing, the complacency that is so easy to get into. And it's easy for us to get in ruts before and after revival meeting. There's five things that I want to put to you this evening in the area of ours. We need a revival of religion. You say, well, wait a minute, we are a very religious people. Americans are still very religious, though they may not go to church, they may not consider themselves even Christian. Well, just because a person is religious doesn't mean that they're Christian. They can be religious about a whole lot of things. But I want us to focus this evening. We need a revival of religion, of beliefs, the belief part of religion. Brother Robert shared a book with me to read, and it's a book by Ken Ham, and it's a very, very good book. It's talking about the importance of understanding, of receiving, of learning, receiving knowledge, and of having that grounded in our minds. We need a revival of that kind of that part of religion, the belief system. A study aspect that takes us beyond the normal, past the usual, above mediocrity. But in the midst of all that I've read so far in that book, in the midst of all that I can even talk about of the need for religion in the belief area or in the learning process, probably greater than the need of understanding and of our beliefs, I believe we need a revival of religion when it comes to experience. Belief is of the mind. The belief system is something right here in the mind, but the experience goes way deeper than that. It goes right down to the heart. We need a revival of the heart of religion. I think if I could draw some comparisons, I think that that's somewhat what Adam was talking about Wednesday night. A commitment. Going to the heart of the issues. Having something down inside, not just superficial, not just the flowery things on the outside, not like even Sunday school lesson, the Gibeonites coming with all of their outward adornment to give that expression that, oh, this is what we are, only to have it to be hypocrisy. We need a revival of reverence and respect. I don't take things personal, at least as personal as some people have in the past. I know that some of the old time preachers were greatly offended. They were greatly offended when things didn't go their way in the way of respect. Some people demanded respect. But I'm astounded nowadays when I can speak to somebody, a child, and they just flat ignore me. Not because I'm anybody, but because of the position that I'm in. Simply. That's all there is to it. Simply because of the preacher's position. I guess when I was a kid, and I expect my kids to do it, that when an adult speaks to them, they pay attention to what that adult's speaking about. There was a lady in Evansville who was kind of a part of the church, not a member, not really strongly involved, but she was a part of the church, and she was helping out with a dinner or something or other, and she spoke to Jonathan. Jonathan was just a little shaver. She spoke to Jonathan about something that I think he was doing something she didn't like him doing or didn't think he ought to be doing in that because they were getting ready for setting up, and he smarted off to her. She had the courage to come and tell me that he smarted off to her. And you see, I don't allow that. I don't go for that kind of thing. And she was just simply an adult. No position, no authority whatsoever, just simply a person. I don't go for that. I would like to think that my kids wouldn't do that now, and if they do, please feel free to come tell me. I took him aside and I let him know, and I believe I made him go back and apologize to her. And see, when I speak to your children, I expect them to listen to me. Doesn't always happen. We need a revival of respect. We need a revival of reverence. Do we really reverence God in God's house? Do we really reverence God? When we come to worship, I know that this is, I told you I was going to talk to you for a little bit about some needs of revival, and you think that I might be getting off here a little bit on another line talking about worship, but I'm talking about revival. We need a revival of reverence, and I think that when we come to church, we need to remember that we're here to speak to God. He said, well, what exactly are you talking about? Well, let me give you another personal example. This doesn't have to do with my children this time. My wife and I were standing talking to some people some time back. And those individuals might recall it. They may have felt the same way that my wife did. But while I was there talking to those people, or we were there talking to those people, I got a text, and I felt it was an important thing for me to respond to at the time because of the situation. And so I was texting this individual while I was trying to carry on a conversation, and my wife told me later, she said, I think you were rude to those people we were talking to. Was I? Go ahead. Cast some stones at me tonight on this subject. Go ahead, think about it, but then also think about the comparison, the way we treat God. And He's God. If I don't respect those people that I'm talking to enough to give them my attention to talk to them, even though this other thing may have been something of importance, I could have excused myself and stepped aside. Are you with me? Are you following my point? Are you my train of thinking here? When we come to God's house, are we really giving Him the due reverence of His position? Or is it just because we have to, because it's duty, because it's expected of us? And while we were here in this place of worship, supposedly worshiping such a great and magnificent God, we can carry on all kinds of conversation and carry on all kinds of other stuff that, you know, I know that kids are kids, and we have those things to deal with. But sometimes we just might use that as a crutch to keep us from really being reverent. Third area of revival that I think we have need of is that we have a need of revival in righteousness. Otherwise known as holy living. Righteous living. Rightness. Doing that which is right at all times, whether it hurts me or helps me. What I mean by hurts me is if it hurts me to do something that is right because it's going to bring some opposition somewhere, then I need to do that which is right no matter what. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm pointing fingers at you on any one of these particular items. It could be just one here or one there, or nobody here, somebody elsewhere. But it's just something for us to think about. What about a revival of righteousness, of right living? Holy living. All across our country, we need a revival of a return to God. Taking the point from the message this morning, who's in charge? God's the owner, I'm the manager. We need a return to God all across our land. We need something so profound that our children have a greater understanding and grasp of what it means to have God as the focus or the center of our lives. Finally, this evening, the fifth thing that I think we need to have a revival of, and that is resolution. Sometimes it's hard to find words that really fit, and resolution comes the closest of an R, or with an R. Resolution would be firm in purpose or belief, characterized by firmness and determination. Resolution has to do with determination. Resolution has to do with the will. Resolution has to do with the decision-making processes of the will. Resolution has to do with backbone or grit or resolve. I am resolved at all costs to serve God. I am resolved, or I have resolved, to be firm in my purpose to be pleasing to God. My belief system is such that it doesn't matter what is thrown my way, I believe God. I don't know how many of you take the Sunday school papers from the table of a Sunday morning, take them home and read them, but in that today was a story of Adoniram Judson. Probably if you know that name, you think of great man of God, a great man of God. But in that story, it showed us that as he got away from home in his late teen years or mid to late teen years, he was at university, and because of all that was surrounding him at university, he became a pronounced, self-proclaimed atheist, fully in agreement with their belief system, and went back to his home and told his pastor, dad, and mom, "I no longer believe in your God. I no longer believe in what you stand for. I am an atheist." I don't know what you think about it, but if one of my children were to come to me and say that, it would completely crush my heart. Wow. You see, I believe it today that our young people, all of us, but our young people are the ones facing these decisions probably more than some of the rest of us. But we need a revival of this resolution where they are determined, they have decided through the processes of their will that it doesn't matter what comes around them. It doesn't matter what takes place in their lives. It doesn't matter what kind of teaching crosses their path. They are going to believe God and follow God. I know that that's easier said than done, because the enemy has his way of deception, and I don't want to minimize that. I want us to keep that always before us in our thinking, because the enemy wants to deceive us, and that the word deception is exactly that. Doing something that you believe is right, ultimately finding out too late that it's wrong. And that's tragic. Deception is a tragic thing. And so I believe that it takes a very focused point of the will, a very focused point of the mind, to be resolved to believe God, to follow God, to have that determination so established that it doesn't matter. I have not been immune to the possibilities that are around us. Neither are you, and neither will you be if it's not come to you yet. It'll happen to every single one of us here tonight if it already hasn't. We will come face to face with the possibility of going some other direction. Maybe not casting aside everything that you believe in the way of God, but slowly drifting away and destroying the foundations upon which you have been raised. We need a revival of resolution. Perhaps Perhaps the two most important things that I think about in this upcoming revival meeting would be portion of the first one and this last one. The hard experience of religion in the first point, and the determination that comes through that resoluteness and that surrender that comes through serving Jesus Christ, or comes when we serve Jesus Christ for full capacity. Firm in our purpose or our belief. I have no idea what Brother Wyford is going to preach when he gets here. I don't even have any suggestions for him when he arrives, nor prior to his coming. But I am seeking God that he will give to Brother Wyford messages that are going to take us to these very points if God sees a need for them within our midst. Now I realize that some of these points that I've given you to you tonight, you would probably say, well, that's on a national scale, and perhaps it really is. You know, the return to God is probably more on the national scale than it is on the local level. But I do believe that there's aspects of some of these other ones that do need to be brought at least to our remembrance, to our focal point for us to consider. Perhaps that's why God's been working on me through this week and bringing these over and over again to my mind as I've spent time seeking God for revival. We need a moving of God. Oh, you know, I'd like to see it. You know, maybe you think when I say a moving of God that I'm thinking about people running the aisles. You know, that would be wonderful. That would be fantastic for me to see that in this church. But that's not what I'm asking for. If God so blesses and comes, you might even see me run. Might shake you up, huh? Startle you a little bit. But I want it to be deeper. I want it to be deeper than that. You know, I could run every service if I just did it. You could too if you just did it. If we just get ourselves into that emotional part, we could do it. But I want it to be deeper than that. I want it to be so deep that it takes us, as the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see." You see, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, that's an incredible word, will humble themselves and seek my face, they'll pray, they'll turn from their wicked ways. There's four elements. It's going to take a resolve within our heart and a revival of the experience of religion, true religion deep down inside. Let's continue to pray for revival. Let's stand together tonight.